Day, and then you have a veteran on that.
Who's the veteran?
Bert.
Oh, that's right. So we'll dedicate this, this learning today to the veterans.
Actually, today's my birthday, so dedicate it for that.
Oh, happy birthday.
Because we're going by the, when Kurt served. Wait. I'm not saying a joke.
It wasn't the Civil War.
No, I'm not saying a joke. When Kurt served, they observed Memorial Day on the real day, May 31st. Not like today, it's just because it's a shopping day. They make it, you know, they always, they make it a Monday, right? It's not the real day.
The religious Jews are getting cheated in the States.
Yeah. No, well, you can, it depends how you look at it.
They don't have to take off a vacation day or something.
Yeah, so they're better off. Okay, today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Beis, the last daf in Ksubas. We're at the second line of the page. Rebchelba, Ravi, Rabbi Yosef, Rechini, Disri, Rabbi Zikla, Hala. So they went to visit a city. Isaac and Maya Farsika, they brought before them a peach. Davi Kiofis Kfar Hino, who was as big as a pot of that city called Kfar Hino. Beofis Kfar Hino, comma, Have, how much is that? How big is that? Heson, 5 saw. In other words, the pot in that city of Kfar Hino held 5 saw. So could you imagine, that's a substantial amount. It was like a gigantic peach, as big as a pot. That's how big this peach was. Achush, they ate a third of it. They couldn't eat anymore. If Kirish Lish, they were mafker for the poor people or whoever wanted to in the city. They gave a third of it in front of their animals. They split it a third. A third gave away, a third they used for their animals, and a third they ate. That's how big the peach was. Lashana, the end of the year, Ikla Ravalazar, Ravalazar visited the same town, and they brought before him a peach, Naktabiyari. He lifted it with one hand, indicating that the peaches weren't so big anymore.
Or that he was very strong.
Right? No, he didn't have such a, nobody had such a big hand. He lifted it in one hand. Rosh just even picked it up in one hand, so he clearly wasn't that big. Vamar Eretz Pri Limlecha. A fruitful land has turned into a salt bin, meaning it was non-productive. They lost Yosher because of the evil of the people who lived there. That caused the production of the land to go down. Rabbi Shuba Levi Iklo Legavlo. He went to the city of Gavlo. Now, Rosh doesn't really tell us these cities where they were. But we'll see that this city of Gavla was more of an Arabic town. Chazun Lahanu Ketufa, he saw these clusters of ripe fruit, the Havikaimu Ki'ikla. They were so big that they looked like calves, like animals, like small cows, gigantic. Amr Agolim Benikfanim, he says, it looks like there are calves here among the vines. Amrle, they told him, Ketufanina, no, these are simply ripe grapes. These are ripe grapes, but they're just very, very nice. Amr, Eretz. He said, land, O land, hachnisi perosayach, hide or remove your peros. In other words, take them in. Don't produce so much. L'miat motzi perosayach, you're producing so much fruits for who? For these Arabs, larvayim halolu, to these Arabs, she'amdu aleinu, that rose up against us, b'chatoseinu, because of our sins, they rose up against us. You're doing this like for the Nazis, you're doing this for the ones who are doing, what are you so nice to us? The Shana, the next day, and it's why are you producing so much? So obviously it wasn't a Jewish town. The Shana, the next year, Ikla Rav Chiya lost, and Rav Chiya visited the same place. I guess they were on business. Chazinu Dehavi Kaimu Kiza, he saw also that these clusters of ripe grapes were as big as goats. Goats aren't quite as big as calves, but they were quite big. Amr Ezen Banik Fanam, looks like goats among the vines. Amr said, stop, Zil, get out of here. Lo Tavalon Kikichavar, don't do to us what your friend did. In other words, your friend said, oh, it looks like calves among the vines because they're so big, and then he cursed the land. You know, stop right there and get out of here. But again, you see that, again, we're trying to show that the loss of Lavo, in the future, the fruits, the land, will give out a lot of, you know, a tremendous amount of bracha. So even if it was Mashma, these were all part of Eretz Yisrael, even though they might have been Jewish towns, non-Jewish towns. If they were part of Eretz Yisrael, but they weren't exactly Jewish. Tanarabana, Bechasheshel Eretz Yisrael, when Eretz Yisrael will be blessed, Rosh Hashanah Mevorechus, when it's blessed, it can produce an unbelievable amount. They saw an area which you can plant a saw of seed, which is usually considered like 50 by 50 amas. Osa chameshes rebo, Reuben can make chameshes rebo 5 times 10,000. That's 50,000 kor, which is an unbelievable amount of produce. One besaw can produce an unbelievable amount. How did he get that big? How did he get the cheshbon like that? Bishivasa shel tzoan. Tzoan was a place in Mitzrayim. And in its normal time, it was one of the most fertile areas of the world. And when it was in its time, in its regular dwelling time, besaw osa shivin korin. A besaw made only 70 kor. Now we're comparing 70 to 50,000. So he says, a besaw produced 70 kor. Tanya, how do we know that? How do you know that that was the normal amount? Tanya over Mer said, like, is any reason the biggest Beit Sha'an? I saw in the Begah of Beit Sha'an, which of course we know today is part of Eretz Yisrael, but Rashi defines it, Mishara Ratzos. Now it's either a different Beit Sha'an or Beit Sha'an didn't always belong to us. But he says like that's an average thing. That's what a good place could do. Begah Beit Sha'an, which is like an average place that you could look at. Beisaw Osa Shivim Korin. I saw that did. That could produce in a regular place, Beit Sha'an, which is a regular fertile area of the world, nothing particularly, says it's not from Eretz Yisrael, not from Mitzrayim, it could do 70 kor. And the most fertile of all the lands in the world is Eretz Yisrael, is Egypt. Shenemar, Kegan Hashem, like the garden of God, Eretz Mitzrayim. And the best part of Mitzrayim, that is the most fertile area of Mitzrayim, was so on. They used to grow, raise kings there, the Siv, Kihayu, but so on, Sorov. Their offices were there. In other words, they raised their kings, and the kings had the nicest areas, and the best area of the world was Mitzrayim. And if he's trying to prove that if Beit Sha'an, which is just an average area, Beisaw produces 70 kor, so certainly in Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim, which was the nicest area, the most fertile area of the world, that would also produce at least 70 kor. Ein chatrushim b'chol eretz Yisrael, and there's no area as rocky in Israel and more than Chevron. That's why they buried the dead in Chevron. Was not only Maaseh Machpelah, but they buried a lot of the dead there because it wasn't a fertile place to cultivate. So they would use that as a cemetery. Afilu hachi, and even though we say that Mitzrayim was the most fertile area of the world, and Soan was the best area of Mitzrayim, still Chevron, which is the rockiest part of Eretz Yisrael, was more productive than that. Afilochi Chevron mavuna al achas mishiva betzon. Chevron was in one area you produced seven times as much as Soan. It was seven times as fertile. Dechsev. How do we see this? Chevron shevashan nivnasa lefnei tzom Mitzrayim. Now, the Pasha translation it would be, Chevron was built 7 years before Tzoan of Mitzrayim. That's what it sounds like. But it can't be literally built. Why? My Nivnasa, so what does it mean built? Elay Medivnasa Mamash literally built. Efshar Adam Bona Bayis Lebno Katan Kodam Shivna Lebno Agadol. Would a man build a house for his young son before he built it for his elder son, Shenamar? How do we know that the order of the son, Shenamar? It says, Ubnei Cham, who are the children of Cham? Right? Cham was one of the sons of Noach. Shem B'cham B'yavus. Kush and Mitzrayim of Futuknon. He had four sons. Kush, that's the Eretz Kush. From there, they built Kush, right? Kushim in Africa. Mitzrayim was Egypt. Put, I'm not sure what that is in English, but another area there, Canaan. And Canaan is Eretz Canaan. So why would he build a place for Canaan, his younger son, before his older son, Mitzrayim? So it can't mean it was built before. Mitzrayim was certainly built before Canaan was built. Elisha Bavuna Alachas Mishiva. In other words, it's 1/7. For every time he had to build seven times as much in Mitzrayim, Canaan was seven times as fertile as that. In an area of seventh of the same area, you could produce as much. So you see over here that Canaan, in which Chevron was there, was seven times as productive as Mitzrayim, right? So therefore, how much would that produce based on the normal the way our computation right now? We said that an average area of the world like Beit Sha'an produces 70 kor in a saw, right? Now we said that's average. Now the Soan in Mitzrayim, which is a fertile area, one of the most fertile areas of the world, right? There's no land as fertile as Mitzrayim, and Soan is the best of that. So that had to also produce presumably at least 70 kor, right? Soan had to be as good as Beit Sha'an. Okay. Now we said that Chevron, which is a rocky area, the worst Arab Eretz Yisrael was seven times as productive as Soin. So how much there would be? It would be 7 times 70, which is 490, right? 7 times 7 is 490. So you have to assume that Soin, right, that Hebron was at least 490. Now, that's a rocky area, right? Hebron was the rockiest Arab Eretz Yisrael, produced at least 490. Hanimili Betrushim, let's go on. And that's in the rocky area, it was at least 490. Avashalo Betrushim, let's say it wasn't rocky. Well, you got to add a little bit. We don't know exactly how much to add on, but we'll say Chameshma, at least if you add 10, right? If we're dealing with 70 and 7 times that, so let's assume another 10, which is a small percentage of the whole thing. So we're saying that Eretz Yisrael normally produces 500 hur for every Beisah. Hanimili Shalobach said that's things were just in a normal year. Avu b'chosel, when things were blessed, Rashi says, k'shashonim b'vureches, k'sid v'yizra yitzchak b'eretz, he planted that year, v'yimtzu me'a sh'arim, 100 times that amount. In other words, it produced 100 times what it normally produces. So if it produces 500, an area, a beisah produces 500 anywhere in Israel, even the worst area was 490, so a normal area is 500. So if in a normal year it would produce 500 for us all, so if it in a year which was blessed and did 100 times as much, 100 times 500 is 50,000. That's where we get our 50,000 that we start off. Tanya Rabbi Yosef Shlomo Yisrael, Beisah Osa Chamesh Shrivi, that's how you get 50,000. Tanya Rabbi Yosef, Saw Shabi Yehuda Haisa Osa Chameson. The same saw of Yehuda, I'm not sure if he means a base saw produces this, because he said it produces a lot more than that, but he just means to say that if you have a saw of produce, that you can actually make from there more. Somehow it's blessed so that the same saw makes a saw of flour, chameson, saw kemach of flour, saw also of fine flour, saw subman of bran, saw morsan of coarse bran, the saw kiburaya, which is like the leftover flour, it's like very coarse flour that you can only make a black bread out of that. So somehow you take a saw and you could produce 5 saw out of that. I don't know if really means that literally, because it's like miraculous. If you have only so much, how could it produce that much? It's hard to understand. Maybe it means a saw of seed. Omaya utstukila Rechanina, an apikoros told Rechanina, Yo meshabchiso bo barchen. You are correct in which you are praising your land. I agree with you. It's good what you're doing with yourself, but why? I know it myself. My father left over for me a beisah. Again, it seems to be the idea that the beisah is the area, and that's what it, and the other thing is that it produces. But of course, we said before that it produces 500 or 70 kor or whatever, that's certainly a lot more than these 5 saw, and so it's not clear. Beisah and achzim abba. My father left a beisah. Mimena mashach. From that I want meshach. Meshach is oil. Like meshach, I produce oil from there. Mimena chamer. Like we said yesterday, that's oil, wine. As out of this beisah, I got oil. I got wine. Mimena ibur. I got corn, wheat, etc. Mimena kidneys. I got pulse, like kidneys, legumes. Mimena rolls. And there was still plenty of grazing land in that area. Besides what it produced, I got a grazing area for my animals. Interesting. Now, normally, amaram or is a term for goyim. Rashi over here says that the amaram means this was at the original time when the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael at the time of Yeshua. That one of the Amorites told one of the early Jews who came into Eretz Yisrael, "Hi ta'alsa, you have a date tree, the kind magud of the Arden that you have over there on the bank of the Jordan River." How much do you harvest from that tree? Amalei shisim kor, 60 kor. Amalei, so he told him, the gears of the bach is, Amalei, lo ailusaba, you haven't improved it. Akati echervuso, you still made it worse. Why? Because Anan, when we had it, and it was, I guess, before you took over the land, may have asked some kor, we used to cut down 120 kor from one tree, which is a tremendous amount for one tree. So a Jewish guy always had a good answer. Oh, I was only talking about one side of the tree. The other side, I also got 60. I got 60 from one side, 60 from the other side. We haven't ruined. We still got the 120. Pasuk says, I will give you a land of desire, nachlas tzvi. So what does that mean? A land of desire, a land that's nice, a nachla of a deer. Lama Eretz Yisrael l'mishal tzvi. Why is Eretz Yisrael compared to a deer? Lo melucha matzvi zeh ein oro machzik besaro. Just like the deer, its hide cannot contain its flesh. This is a common and this is, it's really true, in, I think, in animals too. When they cut open an animal and they skin it, if they would, even if it's like skinned in one big piece, if you try to put it back inside, it won't hold it anymore because the skin contracts once it's, the hide contracts. So he said the deer is like that too, that it's compared to its feet. I guess its feet may be more so than other animals, that once you flay it, once you cut it open, you can't put it back in. It won't hold it anymore. The same way, also cannot be machzik. In other words, it produces so many fruits and vegetables that there's not enough place to store them. It just produces so much. So again, this is all, as we'll see, in modern times. Rashi says over here, it's interesting, Rashi says it on Tosis, rather, the next page, says, he's telling, he didn't tell us this before, but I remember he said yesterday that the end of the Masechet, many times like to end up with good things, things are going to happen in the future, even though we're going to mention some things that aren't so good. So on the next page says, Dor should ben David ba, when Mashiach's going to come, Tosis says, Aidi da'ayi rebirchas ha'olam ba. Since we're talking about the brachas of Olam Haba, the Hainu Limos HaMashiach. Interesting. See, Olam Haba, we always say, what is Olam Haba? Olam Haba is the Olam where the Neshamos go, right? Are you going to be Zochot Olam Haba? Place where Olam Chelek Olam Haba, right? Yesterday we talked about resurrection, right? We talked about Tchias HaMesim. And then we're also talking about, right, there's Ein Kerchav Shem HaMazeh, Ein Zochot Chayim Haba, Evas B'Limos HaMashiach, Mashiach's going to come. Right, so Tchias HaMesim, wherever that's going to happen. This is Machlokas, when is it going to happen? But Tchias HaMesim is the actual resurrection. Birch Olam Haba is really in the next world, not in this world at all. But the Tosfos says, Idiar Birch Olam Haba, the Hainuli Mos HaMashiach, which is really not the same thing at all. But you see here that the word Olam Haba, Tosfos uses, says that the word is used loosely. Even Tosfos using the word loosely. Olam Haba is not talking about the Olam of the Neshamos. It means the future. Just the future here, where we're going to be when the time of Mashiach, we're in that period now, where we're approaching that period. You could argue about that, but we're approaching that period of Mashiach. Good things are going to happen. And isn't it so? 100 years ago, they got nothing out of this land, right? And look what we're getting out of the land now. Now they're producing, they're exporting. So you could say these brachas are actually coming true now. So that's, I'm just saying, that's what we're dealing with now. The gigantic peaches and the amount of produce that comes out is unbelievable.
I agree that our productivity compared to the rest of the world is amazing.
Right, and compared to what we had before, right, and compared to the rest of the world, correct. But what are they getting out of Egypt right now? They can't even feed the population. So so again, that's what we see there, that so just like a deer, it can't, what it, the meat inside cannot be contained by its cover. The same way, Eretz Yisrael, we can't contain all that we produce. Just like a deer or a gazelle is one of the fastest animals, it runs very quickly. That's how it survives when it does survive against the lions, etc. They're the fastest. Af Eretz Yisrael, kalo mikol Eretz Yisrael, it ripens its fruit faster than other countries. And as we're, things ripen here very quickly. Kali, it's swiftly. But okay, the deer is fast, but its meat is not fat. It's not rich. Maybe so. You say, okay, fine. The stuff grows fast and it ripens quickly. But its fruits are not rich and fat. Tam lomer zavas chol dvash, as we saw yesterday. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, right? Zavas chol dvash shmeinim mecholov. Fatter than milk. Milk has got a good percentage of fat. Umetuka midvash, and sweeter than honey. So you see that Eretz Yisrael has the best of both. It grows, it ripens quickly, and it's also fat, lush, and rich in fruit. Rabbi Elazar Kavi saw Eretz Yisrael. When Rabbi Elazar went up to Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he said, when he came into Eretz Yisrael, he said, oh, palti limichada, I've been saved from one sin. In other words, from one punishment. I've been saved. He made it into Eretz Yisrael, so he says, oh, thank God, I've been saved. Okay, we'll see. What does he mean by that? We'll see. Kisamchu, when he got smich in Eretz Yisrael, Amar palti limitarti. Boy, I've been saved. I escaped two punishments. It's really like I've escaped. I escaped one punishment, and I escaped another one. Kiasvu besod ha'iber, when they put him on the council of intercalation, when they decided the sod iber, you know, when you make the bezin decided, are you going to make this a an Ibrior, you know, a leap year or not, etc. How are you going to make the calendar when they put him on that council when he was elected? Omer Patimi Klas, I've been rescued, I've been saved, I escaped from three punishments. Shinemra, what are we speaking about? Shem Pasuk says, Bahisa Yadi, Hashem said, I'm going to punish him. My hand will be Elanaviyam Achozim Shav. My hand will be, in other words, I'll take the come on the false prophets. Besodami lo yiu, they will not be in the council of my nation. Obviously, there we're talking about Soda Ibur, Zesod Ibur. They will not be among them. So again, when he was elected to the council, he says, okay, I got saved from that punishment, I escaped. Ubiksav Beis Yisrael lo yichtivu, and they will not be written in the writings of Beis Yisrael. Zat smicha. Smicha, they gave him smicha, and they gave him a little diploma there, right? So he was, says, when he got smicha, so he was saved from that punishment, he escaped that. Well, they will not come to Eretz Yisrael. So obviously, Kamashmo, that makes sense. That was one of the punishments. You're not going to be able to come to Eretz Yisrael like Moshe and Aaron. They were so to come to Eretz Yisrael. So he says when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he was saved from those three things. So if you come to Eretz Yisrael and you get smicha and you're on the council, then you're saved from all three. We, who just came into Eretz Yisrael, hey, batting 333 is not too bad either, right? Not bad, right? Okay. Rav Zeirik, yeah, he sold it to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Zeirik, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, because we remember talked yesterday about Rav Zeirik tried to escape from Rav Yehuda. He tried to evade Rav Yehuda because Rav Yehuda had the Satmar sheet about not coming into Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Zeirik wanted to make Aliyah. And he prayed, remember, that he should forget all this, everything he learned. He thought, Kevin Sagan, Eretz Yisrael, Lo Ashkech. Remember, he couldn't find a bridge. In other words, in those days, the Jordan River was not something you could just hop over like today. Today, it's not even a pond. It's like a little stream, you know, in most places. So then it was a big river. He couldn't find a way to cross it. There was no bridge. Lo Ashkech Ma'avar Lemever. So Nakat Ben Metzri. So he went on a rope, meaning they had these like a rope bridge. What's a rope bridge? You take a plank and you throw it across, but it's too, you couldn't balance yourself from that, you know. So what they do is then they tie a rope from one end of the river to the other end. They tie it onto something, and you hold on to the rope. That's what's called the rope bridge. With that, you balance yourself. So he came across that cover, but it looked like he was running across, like he was trying. You know, he wasn't waiting for a safe bridge. Omle Utsduki, so one of the upper courses said to him, "I'm a pasisa. You are a hasty, or mixed up nation. Your mouths preceded your ears, as we said yesterday. Nasa v'nishma. Huh? Mine says Hatsuki. What do you have?
Stuki, I said.
Mina.
What?
Mina.
Okay, that's used interchangeably. Maybe because of the, you know, the sensors, depending on where on what it was.
Would Stuki say, talk to someone else as a, first of all, it seems to be.
That Stukim were
earlier.
Yeah, but no, but Stukim were Jews, really, right? It's Stukim were Jews, so maybe it's more psychological. Say he was a Minda, an Apikoros. We have it as an Apikoros, whatever.
The earlier section where it said Stuki is the Iraq command.
What?
Well, what?
I guess I just.
Yeah. Well, our gears we have is the one before was also Stuki, right? Didn't you have before Stuki?
Yeah.
Michael,
before,
what was the. What
before,
was,
before when you had Aravi, I had Goyim.
Ah, okay.
So
yeah, so he puts in his verse. Right. Okay. So anyway, so he's there. That's the guy. So he says, "Listen, you are a hasty nation that your mouths precede your ears." And you said, "Nasa v'nishma." Right? We're gonna do it. That's exactly, you know, minyan adyom. It's still Yisrochag today, even for us. It's Yisrochag, so we could talk about nasa v'nishma. That's today's daf is relevant to Shavuos. Yes, you're a hasty nation. You said Nasa v'nishma. You said it before. Now also, Akanti b'fizu sayichu kayim. So you're still hasty. You have to run across the bridge now. Why don't you wait here in Chutz La'aretz until you can find the proper pass? You're going to run across the river like that and take chances. Omalei duchta de Moshe Aron lo zocha lo, a place that Moshe Aron were not zocha to, meaning Eretz Yisrael, they weren't supposed to come in. Me, Amr, the Zechinela. You think I'm going to wait? I have an opportunity right now. I'm going to come now. Who knows what will happen tomorrow? I don't want to take a chance. That's why I'm running to Eretz Yisrael. So this is how they love Eretz Yisrael. Rav Abba Menashe keep it. Rav Abba kissed the cliffs of Eretz Yisrael. It's a famous thing that people come to Eretz Yisrael the first time. They get off the plane, they bow down, and they kiss the ground. So Rav Menashe also, they got this from Rav Abba. Rav Abba kissed the cliffs of Akko. Tosis here points out, wasn't Akku not part of Eretz Yisrael? Because we said in Gittin we're going to have that it says Akku is like Eretz Yisrael for Gittin, Smashma, that it's not really Eretz Yisrael. So this is there again, there were two parts of the city, or two sides of Akko or Hanina, Metaken Mitgale. He would, Rashi learns that Metaken Mitgale means if there would be stumbling blocks, in other words, he would fix the roads. There would be a pothole, or there would be a rock or something like that. He would fix that. That was how he showed his love for Eretz Israel. He didn't want anybody to say anything bad about Israel. Right? That's what he says that, or Amogim, or keep Rashi's Meshava, or Metaken Machsholi Ir, Machmaschibis, or Shoyz Chaviv Love. People shouldn't say like people say. They come in and say, oh, yeah, it's a nice city, but the roads are terrible. No, don't say anything bad about Israel. We'll fix the roads. Whatever you do, he went and fixed himself. Interesting. Tosis brings down that Rav Chanina Metaken is a different parish entirely. He learns that he would come to Israel. So he didn't know where Israel began. What do you think? They had a sign there. You are now in Israel. Welcome to Israel. He didn't know where. So he would lift the stones. And if the stones were light, he says, that's not Eretz Israel. Eretz Israel's got real heavy stones. When he came and he got picked up a heavy stone, he knew he was in Israel. That's what it means. He was weighing the stones. Not that he was fixing them. You see the Lashon, how Aramaic can fool you? Metaken Mitgale, right? Means he was weighing the mishkal, right? Like the tough and the shins and the thing. Rashi learns the metaken. He was fixing the stumbling things, the michshol. Rav Ami Rasi, kaimi mishamshol tool mishamshol. When in the summertime, when it got real hot and the sun was burning down, so they would get up and they would learn in the shade and said, who says you need air conditioning? Who says it's so hot here? In the winter, when it was freezing, they would go out into the sun. They always looked for something nice to say about Israel. Rav Chiya Bar Gamda, Mignar Amafra, he rolled in the dust. To show how he loved it so much, he rolled in the Shemar. Ki rotz avadecha savadecha, your servants loved the stones. They wanted the stones. Vesafari chanenu, they loved the stones, right? They found that they desired them. They wanted them. Amrav Zeir, Amrav Yirmiya Baraba, Dor sheben David ba, the generation which Mashiach is coming. This is where Tosfos says over here. We're speaking about things about Olam Haba, the Hainu Limos Mashiach. That's why it says over here. So he says there are bad things there too, even though we're talking about good things, but he's talking about the Ben David Bas, so we talk about this too. Kategar about the Kohen, they're going to be prosecutors against the Micham, he's going to say bad things about the people learning Torah. Kemisa Kamed Shmuel, Amr Tzirf, Achat Tzirf, there'll be one trouble after the next. Rashi says, Xerus, there'll be one decree after Nashon Emar, but Od Basira, even though there'll only be one-tenth of the Jewish people left, they'll destroy nine-tenths of us, right? Veshava Baislavai, they'll try to destroy that too. And even though we're only a fraction of what we once were, they'll come to destroy us too. Tanur Rabbi Yosef, Bezuzi, they will, the spoilers, and then what's left, their other spoilers will despoil them. Amr Kibarashi, Amr Asidin, all the Kolon Yisrak, Shibarit Shrol, Shitin, and Paris. We'll stop here. That the in the future, this is again a good thing. We want to, even though we mentioned Mashiach, in time of Mashiach, things aren't always going to be, we talk about Chavit Mashiach, aren't going to be so good. But in the future, even the trees, the non-fruit bearing trees, will also bear fruit. And he brings down a pasuk indicating that. We'll leave this. But we end off Ksubas on a good note. Tomorrow, Mitzvah, we'll start in the Dorim. And also, it's because Nadarim and Nazir are really the same idea. Nazir is a kind of Neder. And of course, Michael, that's this week's Parsha, right? Okay. So he talks about Nazir and Sota. So now the next three sessions are Nadarim, Nazir, and Sota. Some of the Gemaras have all three in the same one, like Michael has there. If you have the other kinds, don't, right? We just say the other kinds don't. All right, we'll pick it up tomorrow, Mitzvah, at 5:30. We'll start Nadarim.